Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the June 2nd Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting. We have a light agenda today, so hopefully we'll get through it pretty quickly. We only have one item, and we have one discussion item. Why don't we go ahead, and we have a full board except for one opening. Mr. Belush, will you please take attendance for the record?
Sure. Just for the record, and today again is Friday, June 2nd, 2023. We have six board members present, including Ms. Malikoff, Mr. Nagler, Mr. Silvers, Mr. Aronson, Mr. Essien, and Mr. Goldberg.
Great. Thank you. Excuse me. With that being said, Mr. City Attorney, can you give any updates and how to participate via Zoom for those who would like to participate in any public hearing?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, all. Today's meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the board physically present in the commission chambers at the City of Miami Beach City Hall, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform. For those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform webinar, may dial 888-853-5257, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 828-6961-5309, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 828-6961-5309. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that will be testifying today, I am going to advise all as to the city's policy regarding notice of registering for a lobbyist. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you are speaking only on your behalf and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to either express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. At this time, Mr. Chair, I'd like to have those that are testifying and that are present here in chambers, please stand so I can swear you in and give you the oath. Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. We do have a discussion item, which is going to be a motion to reconsider the action that this board took on May 5th due to newly discovered evidence where the board denied the appeal for the application of ZBA 23-0146, 13305 15th Street. I'm going to ask the city attorney, this is a little bit out of the ordinary, I'm going to ask the city attorney to explain the procedure and how it's going to be handled. There will not be any full discussion from this board at this time, but I will hand it over to the city attorney to give you specific instructions on what we're going to do and how it's going to be handled.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first item, which is ZBA 230146, is properly before you today here as a discussion item. The last item that was heard at our last agenda was the appeal, which there was a motion to uphold the planning director's determination, and subsequent to this board hearing that matter, there came to light, there was a mention of an inspector general's investigation as into what transpired in the permitting process and the application process. And that evidence was not known, and the investigation is still going on. But the only way to preserve the record is to bring to your attention that there is an ongoing investigation by the city's IG's office, and that has revealed that the person who changed the front sheet of the discrepancy of the two applications was done by an employee of the permit doctor. Now, whether or not that is going to change the ultimate decision of this board, procedurally, the next step would be, as no other business has been transacted, so that's why it's properly before you. If there were to be a motion for reconsideration, it would have to be made by one of the five members that voted to uphold the planning director's determination. If the motion is made by any one of those five, then there would be a second and a vote. If the motion were to carry and it was to be reconsidered, you would not be hearing testimony here today. Rather, it would be set with a public notice for the next regularly scheduled meeting, which I'll defer to Michael because of timing with the 30 days. But that would be, if the motion were to fail or not to have a second, then the posture of the case would remain the way it is, and they would be the appellant would be afforded its appellate rights, knowing that they've exhausted all administrative remedies to get up to an appeal. Mr. Kalergis is not here today, but I have spoken to him. He's preparing for a closed executive session in about an hour or so. I think every party here agrees between the city, the staff, and the applicant's counsel that this evidence was not in existence at the time of the last hearing. It can't be released right now because it's still not finalized and under Chapter 119 public records request laws. It's not a public record yet, but it will be made available shortly. The IG, I've spoken to him. He anticipates that it will be done hopefully by the end of this month. So that's procedurally why we're here today, and I'm not sure if the applicant and or his counsel have anything to add to that.
Mr. Hudson?
Morning.
Morning.
I have been working with Mr. Rothstein and his staff and the staff of the city attorney. We support this motion, obviously. I wasn't here last time. I've recently been retained because of my experience with this issue and the city. I was the one that represented 865 Collins and our successful attempt to move that one forward. As you know, my client indicated that he had submitted the application for a hotel. It apparently was changed. He indicated it was changed. He showed you the evidence of the original one that he sent to the permit doctor and the one that was ultimately in the records of the city. The IG has been investigating this. I've spoken with the IG. He's indicated to me, obviously, as well as to staff counsel, that there is evidence that's material and that could change the outcome and could change your decision. So today we simply support and request that you allow us to reconsider, and we'll see you when that IG report is published and you can make a more informed decision.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hudson. So with that being said, is there any motion on the floor to reconsider? And again, just to remind you, if we reconsider, this would not come before us until September because of the time frame of the notice, having to put the notice out, the public notice, so they can come and speak if they wanted to. So I'll open it up to any motions.
I mean, I think it's important that we find out the truth of, you know, what happened. Wouldn't you think?
Are we going to have a discussion
on
this, or is it just a vote?
Not you can't. Yeah, it's not publicly noticed.
Just procedurally. Is it going to come back to you so that you could hear what the IG's report said?
And I'm
possibly
saying
whatever
we should listen to
that.
That's what's on the floor. We really can't get into discussion
right.
Because
it
has not been publicly
change
noticed.
The ultimate vote, but
exactly.
The question is procedurally. Is this board going to let them have the chance to present this evidence, which was clearly not discoverable at the time of the last hearing?
I think we should.
So what I'm asking is whether or not it's appropriate to have a discussion on the procedure as to whether or not we should open it.
Well, there were questions that were made to the board and to myself as to why are we here today on a discussion item. So I have to explain to the board and educate the board that this is the only method under the city code to get this back to your attention because we're now 1 month later. We haven't conducted any business, so legally this is the proper mechanism and it's whether or not you want to hear what transpired through the permit doctor and the investigation that the IG had, or if you're okay with not opening it up. At least procedurally, the applicant had its right to exhaust its administrative remedies before taking this up on appeal.
So, Counselor, what I'm asking is the function of the board now just to vote, or do we have discretion to discuss that vote?
No, there's no discussion on the merits of this
rehearing vote.
It's just whether or not you want to
hear
this in the future or not.
Well, I think Mr. Essien kind of said it right. It's, you know, you want to hear what's there. We can't discuss it again because the public has not been noticed. So it needs to be one of the affirmative votes that reconsiders to put it on the floor. So, again, I'll ask if...
I move to reconsider.
Okay, Ms. Malikoff, I second that. Move to reconsider, second by Mr. Essien. Do a roll call on that, please.
So this is a motion made by Ms. Malikoff, seconded by Mr. Essien. This is a motion to reconsider the vote taken by the board at the last meeting. Mr. Nagler?
Yes.
Mr. Silvers?
Yes.
Mr. Aronson?
No.
Mr. Essien?
Yes.
Ms. Malikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Goldberg?
Yes.
So that motion passes 5-1.
Thank you.
That will be noticed for the September meeting, and then we'll bring this back to the board at that time. That meeting will be September 8th.
My client and I thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Okay, let's get back to the agenda, and let's go ahead and get an approval. You have the May 5th minutes in your package. Hopefully you had an opportunity to review them. With that being said, I'll ask if there's any motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Aronson, second. Second by Mr. Silvers. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Mr. Belushi, are there any requests for continuances or withdrawals?
No, we do not.
Okay, so we have a new application, ZBA 23-0150. That is 1800 West 23rd Street. Can you please go ahead and tee that up for us, Mr. Belushi?
Sure, and I'll read you the request and go over the variances. This is an application that's been filed requesting a variance from the minimum seawall height requirements in order to construct a new seawall along the property, which contains an existing two-story home to be retained, and also a rear setback variance for the construction of a new trellis. Now, as indicated in our report, the first variance is very similar to an application that was before you a couple months ago regarding a seawall height. In this case, this subject property is a two-story residence constructed earlier in 1936 and designed by noted Miami Beach architect Martin L. Hampton. The home was constructed with the first finished floor level at approximately 6 foot NGPD, and the rear pool deck along the water is also located at approximate level of 6 foot NGPD. The existing seawall is lower at an elevation of about 4 foot NGPD, and the applicant is proposing to construct a new seawall at an elevation of just over 6 foot NGPD. However, the code requires a minimum elevation of 7.26 NGPD. Similar to the case a few months ago, the applicant is proposing, and this seawall will be designed to structurally accommodate an elevation up to the minimum code requirement of 7.26 NGPD in the future. Because of this, as well as the fact that this involves the retention of a pre-1942 home and the discrepancies between the elevation of that home and the elevation of a code-required seawall, which would be much higher at this time, staff is supportive of that variance request. And the second variance is a rear setback variance to construct a trellis with a rear setback of 3 foot 1 inches when 13 foot 1.5 inches is required. Now, the home also has an existing pool deck located at the southeast corner of the property. The applicant is proposing to construct a 10 foot tall trellis that is 10 feet in width and 20 feet in length. It does comply or exceed the required side setback of 7.5 feet with a proposed setback of 10 feet. Due to the location of the existing pool and limits on the property, the applicant is requesting the rear setback variance. Now, I noted in the report, due to the unique circumstance of this property, the top of the trellis would be located at an approximate elevation of 16-foot NGVD, which is only 3 feet higher than what the maximum yard elevation would be allowed for a new home. So basically, if someone were to develop this site as a new property, they could raise the entire yard up to a base flood elevation plus 5 feet for the entire yard. And then on top of that, you know, accessory structures are allowed. In this case, because the yard is much lower, the top of their trellis is only going to be about 3 feet higher than what the yard would be if it were filled for a new home. Because of this, as well as the fact of the constraints on the property that contained the 1936 home, staff is supportive of the requested variance. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Peter Loria, who can present his
application. Before we do that, Mr. Belush, are there any disclosures?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Nadler.
I was contacted by the applicant by email, and I responded saying I was invited to the house to look at the property, and I thanked them for the opportunity, but I did not accept.
Okay, Mr. Essien.
I got the same email, but I didn't reply.
Mr. Aronson?
I know Mr. Loria for many years. My law firm has represented the family business going back 30 years, 35 years. It was a significant representation as far as I was concerned. That's where I met Mr. Loria. I think I've been friends with him since. I've met on various occasions Mrs. Loria. I know the family well. I shouldn't say well, but I know the family. I know Mr. Luria's sister as a friend. And that said, I have no financial cross financial interests or any financial interest in this application. I don't believe that I'm, and on advice of counsel, I don't believe that I'm disqualified from hearing it.
Mr. City Attorney, you just want to confirm that. I know there was a discussion.
That is correct. There is no voting conflict.
Thank you. I did get an email from Mr. Loria. I did invite him to the house. I responded to him, thanking him, but saying it wasn't necessary. Mr. Silvers?
I also was contacted by Mr. Loria. I did visit the house. He showed me the... his house and his property, and I have no financial interest with Mr. Loria.
Did they offer you coffee?
Excuse me?
Did they offer you any coffee?
No coffee. Oh. I almost took an avocado off a tree, but I didn't. They weren't ripe.
That would have been a mistake. Ms. Malikoff?
I don't believe I had an email from Mr. Loria. If I did, I missed it. But I had seen his house previously when I was a commissioner, and we were talking about raising streets and flood prevention on that island.
Okay, great. I think we're good to go. Mr. Luria, the floor will be yours. Give you 10 minutes. If you need more, let me know. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Peter Luria. My wife, Pam, and I are the applicants. And I have a question. If I go over there, do I take a microphone with me?
They're going to bring one out.
Okay, that's fine. We have lived in our house at 1800 West 23rd Street for over 30 years. We raised our family in this home. Ours is an historic house built in 1936 in which John F. Kennedy once slept. It is 1.5 lots, 112.5 by 175 feet on the waterway between Sunset 3 and 4, looking out at Biscayne Bay in the city of Miami. We are asking the board to grant two variances. The first is a seawall height variance. We began the seawall project in 2019. At that time, the city required new homes to be at a minimum first floor elevation of 9 feet NGVD and the seawall to be at 7.26 NGVD. However, for existing homes, they only required to build a new or repair an existing seawall to a height of 5.56 feet NGVD. But then along came the COVID epidemic. It shut down everything and delayed Durham and the Army Corps of Engineers inspections and review. We received final approvals in March 2023. In the interim, the city changed the seawall ordinance to require all homes, not just new homes, doing more than 50% repairs on the seawall to go to a height of 7.26. Existing homes doing less than 50% repair still only have to build to a new height of 5.56. We are building a new seawall a half a foot higher than the minimum. Ours will be at a height of 6.06 NGVD, and it is designed to be able to add the additional height in the future when needed or if a new home is built on the property. Our house is at 6.16 feet NGVD. The backyard slopes down to a height of the existing seawall, which is 3.86 NGVD. Our new seawall will be more than 2 feet higher than our existing seawall. We don't want to lose our existing view of the waterway or look at a massive wall that is higher than the first floor elevation of our home. The project aims to protect the existing 87-year-old home by raising the seawall height by 2 feet, which, while resilient, will now be visible from everywhere in the rear. These special conditions create the necessity to build a seawall at the proposed height of 6.06 NGVD to maintain the current level of enjoyment of the property while protecting the older residential structure. As was mentioned, just for comparison, 2 months ago you approved the height variance for an existing home constructed in 1941. Our house was built in 1936. The other home had a finished floor of 6.46 NGVD, and our first floor elevation is even lower. It's 6.16 NGVD. The height of their new seawall was 5.56 NGVD. Our height is 6.06 NGVD. Just, is this on? Sense the existing cap is right here. This will be the new seawall at this level. If I was going to go to 7.26, it would have to be this high, and you could see the view from our house. Yes, but we're not doing. We have another existing issue. Not doing a cap, which most people do, which is more less expensive. We have undermining, so we are building a new seawall 1 foot in front of the old seawall and then capping the whole thing. So designed to handle it, and we're, you know, the extra weight. So that's the story of the seawall. And unlike people in the city, what took an extra year is we went to the Army Corps of Engineers to permit a floating dock. Because if we built the seawall, the concrete dock at that height, we couldn't be able to use it for kayaks or paddle boards. We couldn't even get on a small boat. But while many people do not permit floating docks, the law requires it. So we went ahead. The floating dock. The second variance we are requesting is for a trellis in the rear setback between our pool and the waterway on the east side of the property. The proposed trellis is 10 feet by 20 feet, because the width of our pool is 20 feet, and open on all four sides. The height is 10 feet. The existing pool patio is 5.7 feet NGVD. In comparison, the height of a first floor elevation for a new house could be as high as 13 feet NGVD. The waterway directly to the rear is 100 feet wide. We are constrained by the existing house and pool layout. We are replacing an existing jacuzzi with a trellis so we can sit outside during the day near the shallow end and watch our grandchildren, which one of them lives in the house with our son and daughter-in-law. She's due to have another child in August. We want to see them play in the pool. When they moved in, they took two bedrooms and two baths on a wing of the second floor, and they put a doorbell in. We can't even go up unless we ring the doorbell. And now they're two, and she wanted to have 10 originally. You know, at that point, we're going to have to move out, I guess. Anyway, and we don't want to be exposed to the sun. I think if you look at your packet, we're probably the only applicant who ever got a doctor's note, because we've had, you know, skin cancers taken off, squamous cell or whatever. And I was at the doctor's office. I said, well, you write a note that we shouldn't be exposed to the sun. So I put that in there. It reminded me of high school, you know, you had to have a note. We are not asking for any side variances. The proposed open-sided trellis will not have a negative impact on either neighbors abutting the property. There is a 30-foot-tall hedge of protocarpus trees running along our entire rear east side of the property line, extending all the way to the water down to the waterway. This will hide the trellis from the nearest neighbor directly to the east of the property. Our property consists of 1.5 lots with a total width of 112.5 feet. The neighbor directly to the west is approximately 80 feet away from the proposed trellis, where the proposed trellis will be situated. The width of a standard lot along the water of Sunset 3 is actually 75 feet. The trellis will be situated a greater distance away from than the width of their entire lot. In addition, there is a 12-foot-tall rachamachera hedge and various trees along the rear west side of our property, also extending all the way down to the waterway, that will block its view. And I'll just point
out. Don't forget the mic, Peter.
Can you hear me? Okay. This is the waterway. This is the dock and the floating dock. This is the existing pool right here. This is our house. The pool patio is right here. And this is where we like to sit out. We can see the city from here. We can't see it from here, and anything here would block our view anyway. And this is lower. So we want to put it right here. It's marked so it's the width of the pool itself. This pool is 20 feet by 40 feet. This is the cabana that's on the side that shows you the proposed height of the trellis. Right, it would be the same height as that. This is what the trellis will look like.
Keep going. Five minutes.
It's replacing this jacuzzi that's going to be taken out right now. This is a view looking to the east. This is a view looking to the west, and this is actually where it's going to sit, right here. The neighbors to the east, neighbors directly across, and neighbor to the west have all approved sent letters approving it. Both variances we have requested satisfy the hardship criteria. The existing structure was first built in 1936 with a finished floor of 6.16 NGVD and a pool and pool deck that was built at an elevation of 5.70 NGVD, both substantially preceding our purchase of the property, which was 1992. As I said, the neighbors abutting our property to the east, on the west, and directly across the waterway have all given us letters of support for both proposed variances. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay, well, let's go ahead. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Before we do that, let's go ahead and open it to public comment. Do we have anybody on Zoom? There's no one here in the commission chambers.
And, Mr. Chairman, there's nobody online with their hand raised.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment. I'll go ahead and open it up with questions from the board through the chair. Mr. Asion?
I have a question. What is the permitted allowed to build a trellis? How close to the water now?
So if this, to be code compliant, it would be 13 foot, 1.5 inches, which is 50% of the required setback for the property. That's the variance that they're requesting from.
And this is 5? What is it?
3 feet.
3 foot, 1 inches.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just using Google Earth and going around the island. It's hard to find somebody who has a structure built so close to the water. There is a house that has actually a concrete structure that seems that it's, at one point, it's kind of close. But I just find it, I like the idea. I just think that we might be setting a precedent of putting trellis.
We would not be recommending favor of this if this was a trellis that was built as part of a new house that was elevated to the maximum that was required. So if the code measures the height of accessory structures from BFE plus one, so in this case that'd be 9 feet. So if someone were to come in and build a code compliant structure, it would be 12 feet. So it would be 21 feet from a height of 21 feet NGVD versus the height that they're doing of 16 feet. So that's sort of our analysis, that is that they're not elevating the yard, and it's only 3 feet higher than what the yard would be for a new house. That was our analysis. If this was somebody, you know, raising their yard to the maximum elevation, then adding on top of it a trellis structure, we wouldn't be supportive of it.
Currently, sir, the hedges between your house and the house to the east, is that still there the way that it shows on Google, or is it pretty covered with landscaping?
So you want to come up? Are you asking Mr. Leary then?
Yeah.
You want to come up to the mic, please? Thank you.
Yeah, the hedges are there. I'm into plants also, but those trees are
big.
When we bought the house, those trees were there. But I would like to make a correction to something you said.
Okay.
You said no trellis is that close to the water. That's incorrect, okay? And I don't want to, I've never caused a problem for any neighbors, okay? But I can tell you, from my house, I can see two of them, okay? So if you were able, and I know you weren't able to come over, I would.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking to cause a problem for them. Most people do not, I don't know if anyone, you know, they just do it.
Right.
They don't ask for a permit. Just like if you go and look at every floating dock and you ask how many people have got permits, I bet you 1 out of 100. And
right.
I even asked the city manager, I wanted to do it by the book
right.
as much as possible. I just wanted to make that correction, Andre, because I understand what your concern is, but... And that's why I got the neighbors.
I hear you. I appreciate that you're here. We had a guy here that was last time that was trying to get his pergola approved, and it took him 13 months. So I understand the frustration. Hopefully we can fix that.
And if I had a place that I – but the problem is that the pool is at 13 feet.
Right. And you're not putting it on the other side of the pool because you want to be closer to the water.
I don't have enough width.
Got it.
On the other side, I'm 13 feet away from the neighbor. I wouldn't be able to have the width. I need 7.5 feet setback. That's the problem. And otherwise it's blocking our view. And I wouldn't. And I also would lose the ability to watch the pool. And also I wouldn't be able to see the.
Right. No, I was just questioning whether if you would have inverted so that the steps would be closer to the house and the trellis would be closer to the house, and you would have it.
It wasn't doable. I wasn't going to redo the whole pool and change
right.
the orientation. It's been when we bought the house over 30 years ago. And believe me, I wrestled with it. Can go here. And this was the best.
Understood.
So,
okay. And Mr. Asion, just to clarify, there's a supplemental package as part of their package at the end of the set. The last sheet A.03, if you look at that, you can see has a dashed line showing that that's the height of what would be allowed for a code-compliant structure. So that shows basically how far below the height that would be allowed for a structure that complied with the setbacks. That's part of the reason why, for our recommendation.
That would be for a new structure, a new build. So he's going to be under that. He's going to be under that.
Understood.
So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
Honest you. And Heather?
Yeah, I have one question and one comment. my question for the applicant is, I did read through the packet. I did see the doctor's note. I didn't see a hall pass, but okay.
There's a doctor's note in there.
So one of the letters from your neighbors says that their property directly abuts the Lurias to the east. And then I noticed that the letter from the Masses, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, says that their property is to the west. So I was just curious, is their property
one house away?
Is their property immediately to the west?
It's one house beyond that.
Okay. So what do the people who are to your immediate west have to say?
Because they're ask them.
Yeah.
I did not ask them for a special.
Why?
You want to know? Because they have a trellis without a permit, and I didn't want to get into a problem with, you know, putting them on a spot.
Got it. Okay.
That's the reason.
So we don't know their position.
But they're also over 80 feet away, right?
Well, I don't think it would be they would have a problem. It's also, I sold them the land that was originally my tennis court, but I told you it's 80 feet away from where this is going to be, and not it's the other way. The city is that way, so it's delicate. That's why.
All right, now my comment. Thank you, sir. I think the city has competing interests about preservation. I think that was specifically one of the reasons given for recommending approval of the variance, is to preserve the house because it's an older house, and I think that's great. And I also think that we have a city code that requires a structure, a seawall at this cost, to be a certain height, and that's for sea level rise, I understand. And I think those are clearly competing interests, because we're being asked right now to weigh and balance preserving the house and having a seawall and sort of come to a compromise. And I'm going to be a yes vote on this. I'm a yes vote on this application, but I think when the city goes and writes the codes and goes back and looks at maybe a pattern of decisions that the board makes, there's eventually something's going to have to prevail, because the height of the required height of the seawall is there for a reason. And if we're giving variances and if the code allows exceptions, you know, this property, as I understand from reading this, I'm not an expert, seems to be exceptionally low. And that seems to be a problem in Miami Beach in today's day and age with weather conditions. And it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know. Because we want the properties raised to a certain height for a reason. So I just think, I think a lot of people probably have their work cut out for them in figuring out how the city is going to proceed in the decades to come.
Well, I think, you know, it's not a perfect, we're not like a brand new city, so we have to balance interest of property owners and existing homes, and eventually, if properties are flooding and houses are flooding, you know, this house is here now. It's not flooding right now, but 10, 20, 50 years from now, it's probably not going to be here, depending on sea level rise. But it's not, the city has not said we're going to wipe out and require everybody to build anew right now. So this is like a sort of a tiered approach. Over time, you know, things will be raised and elevated. Codes will be modified and elevated over time. So I think this is the appropriate measure, and the Board of Adjustment is perfect in terms of balancing that interest, because the code cannot contemplate every circumstance. And like you said, what's happened in the past, when we see cases, and part of the reason why the board has not received a lot of applications in the last couple of years is because we did modify the code and took away or made as of right setbacks and structures that previously did require variance. We took the pattern of variances being approved, you know, typically by the board, modify the code, and so that's probably what would happen in this instance. If we see this case happening for a lot of properties, and this happens as we reevaluate the code, figure out what makes sense to modify, and, you know, now that we see the circumstance going forward, we may think this is a good reason to modify the code. But like I said, we can't foresee every circumstance, every property in the city, And that's what the variance process is here for.
And thank you so much, and thank you for the staff's work. I think it's I think it's for this city in particular, it's going to be a delicate, difficult issue to with those competing interests. Thanks for your work on that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Aronson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So first of all, I just want to say that I think that Mr. and Mrs. Luria should be commended for coming before this board and doing it the right way as compared to just building, which seems to be fairly pervasive in the area. And I think that's salutary, and you're certainly going to get due consideration from this board.
Thank you.
With regard to the seawall, to use a lawyer term, I think it's a no-brainer. We've already passed a variance which is probably more outside of the scope of the city regulations. I mean, we've approved a variance for 5.56 with a somewhat higher elevation of a legacy home. Now, the Luriers are going to 6 feet. I think this board needs to be consistent, and I have no issue with this variance request for the seawall. With regard to the trellis, I have a question. Am I reading it correctly that in terms of the setback, we're talking about a variance of 13 feet, but if this was a single-story home, it would be a variance from 7 feet?
No. The code requires, in terms of the home has a separate setback. So the main home has a required setback. Let me just look at the numbers here just a second.
It's section 142-106.
So the main home has a required setback of about 26 feet. That's the main home.
Right.
The code says for your accessory structures in the rear yard, you have to be 50% of that. So the required setback in this case is 13 foot, 1.5. They're asking for a 10-foot setback variance to place it at 3 foot 1 versus the 13-foot 1.
I understand. I'm looking at 142-106, which seems to talk about setbacks for single-story buildings.
Yeah, so this is a single-story building, and so the code requirement for the side, if this was an interior lot, it'd be 7.5 feet on the side and 7.5 feet on the rear.
Oh, okay.
The issue is for waterfront lots, gotcha, the setback is increased. And it wasn't until several years ago that the setback was 7.5 feet, but that allowed, you know, a solid structure. You know, accessory guest house, you know, much more impact on the waterway. This is basically an open trellis. And we could add a condition to make sure that this variance does not allow them to enclose this or to allow Peter to take the structure and enclose it as a building to require that it be maintained as an open structure as he's showing. That's also a reason we're supportive of the variances. It's not a solid structure. It basically has the four posts and a wall.
Right. Okay, thank you. I have nothing further. I'm
going. By the way, one of the things, I have an umbrella I put up now. At least three times that umbrella has blown off into the water, and I had to get kayakers to help rescue the umbrella and pull it back. So this is why I want to anchor those posts. I don't want to be chasing umbrellas down the canal.
Great. Thank you. Comments, questions, Ms. Malkoff?
Only that I'm the third generation in the house I live in, which was built in 1935, and I appreciate what you're doing to preserve what you have, and the work that you're doing will keep your house going.
Well, thank you. We have the billionaires coming in and offering crazy money, and my wife said, why are we doing this? You know, I said, I love living here. You know, I'd probably squander the money anyway. I said, and where are we going to go? And I'd rather stay here, and hopefully the kids will have the house, you know. So, but thank you. Joy, anytime you want to come and visit, I'm happy to show you the house.
Thank you.
uh, Through the chair, I have another quick question.
Yes, Ms. Essie.
Out of curiosity, what is the sea wall height on either side of your home now?
What's that?
The sea wall. What is the height on either side of your home now?
They're about the same height as my height. Okay.
So you're going to be higher than them?
I will be higher than them.
Great.
And across the way, it's also lower. I actually will be higher.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
So
I remember that question, you know, how many homes from the last one.
You did your homework. You did a good job.
Well, I listened. That's why I came last time when it was discussed. So, but yes.
So I'll provide just a quick comment, not to repeat what everyone says. You know, I think this is a no-brainer. If you go back to the 800 Lakeview Drive case, which Mr. Lurie brought up, it was very, very similar. And we approved a 5.56 NGVD, and he's going to 6.06, which is I'm going to say the same thing I said to the applicant for that, is you're going to be in better shape now. Yeah, you know, once you do this, then you are now. So we appreciate that. I have no problem with the structure. I think it's going to look good. And, you know, we appreciate you doing things, you know, the right way. And I'm going to be a yes vote on that. And if there's no more comment, I'll entertain any motions on the floor.
I'll make a motion to approve the request for variances.
Okay, motion by Mr. Silvers. Second by Ms. Malikoff. Should we do a roll call, Mr. Belush, please?
Okay. Mr. Nagler?
Yes.
Just for clarification, we're approving both.
Correct, both.
In one vote.
Correct, we can do that. Mr. Silvers?
Yes.
Mr. Aronson?
Yes.
Mr. Essien?
Yes.
Ms. Malikoff?
Yes.
And Mr. Goldberg?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Hopefully you have a smooth process in the permit process.
The building is going to be the...
You did a nice presentation. Do you need a job?
Yeah, really.
I didn't realize when I was doing it, you know, how much was involved. I have a new respect for the attorneys that have to prepare these things. I had no idea what was involved.
Just don't give Pam your bill. Don't give Pam a bill for putting this all together. I'm sure she helped you a little bit. So it's all good. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Congratulations. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Mr. Belush, we have any appeals?
No, not this month.
Okay. Other business, I just want to again state, and we said at the last meeting, and this is for those at home that are watching, we still have an opening on the board for a CPA. The CPA does not necessarily have to live in Miami Beach as long as they've worked in Miami Beach 6 months or more. We really would like to get that filled to have a full board because a lot of the items require a 5/7 vote, and we don't have a lot of wiggle room if someone cannot make a meeting. Our next meeting is going to be July 7th. We do have four items on the agenda and an appeal.
That's correct. We have one appeal on the
agenda.
So,
you know, please recognize that, and, you know, we'll
be... What's the date?
July 7th, you won't be here?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to be here either.
Okay, well, you guys want to check real quick? Because that could be an issue because we're going to need...
Where's the barbecue?
July
7th? Yeah. If anybody can just email me to confirm that they're not going to be here, and then we can advise the applicants. If we don't have five, then we'll cancel the meeting. Otherwise, if we have five, we'll ask the applicants if they still want to... have their application heard in July.
Okay, if you all could just email Mr. Belush offline when you get back to your office at home and let him know, and then he'll take the appropriate action.
I'll be here.
I'll be here.
I'm coming back the 6th, so I'll be here.
I'll be here.
Okay, so we're all confirmed except Ms. Malikoff then. Okay, great, awesome, thank you. All right, with that being said, thank you, board members. Appreciate your participation, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, Mr. Silvers. Second.
Second.
Mr. Harrison. Thank you, everybody, and have a good 4th of July. We'll see you in July.